All right, I'm going to read a scripture found in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Praise God. All right, now, we're teaching on agents of change. Agents of change. And whether you know it or not, that's you. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is taking the church somewhere that we have never been before. And he told them in following the ark and Joshua, he said, don't follow it too close. Because where I'm taking you, you've never gone before. But I like what one man said. He said, in the kingdom, that which is unknown is friendly. Oh, I like that. So here, we had discussed this agents of change, and last I was listening to the tape from the last session that we had on this, and it was pretty good. And so as we continue on, I'm not going to rehearse that was there, but I'd like to say that Satan's most powerful weapon today is ignorance. And so we want to make sure that we are not ignorant. And so as we look at this, one of the things that I said last time is we must know who we are. For you to go where God wants to take you, you're going to have a firm understanding of who you are. If you recall over in Numbers chapter 13, let's go over there real quick. In Numbers chapter 13, let me have that water, thank you. And in Numbers chapter 13, he said over here in verse, I'll start reading here in verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they're stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up its inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Verse 1 of 14, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Excuse me now. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, would God we had died in this wilderness, and wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land, excuse me, we'll get it together, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us choose us another pastor and let us return to Egypt. All right. Now, let's establish something. You are born again. Or if you're not born again, you can be born again tonight. Now with that, now you have no limitations. Now that's important that you write that down. You have no limitations. The only limitation you have now is in your mind. The only limitation you have now is in your mind. Now, you've got to get that firmly in your spirit, that you have no more limits. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, God speaks about something. He said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above," come on, "all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Okay? So you have no more limits. None. Now that's going somewhere, folks. That's saying something real big. That you have no more limits. So whatever excuse, whatever thing you're throwing up there, usually it comes from programming from your previous life when you were not born again. You had limits. Now you don't. I said now you don't. Your limit is God. You are connected. The Bible says you are one spirit with the Lord and connected with him. Isn't that good?
Yes.
So now, what I did on Sunday, and I'll bring a little of that into today, is I talked about Mark 11, 23 and 24. Let's go over there, please. Mark 11, 23 and 24. Now, this is a teaching that Jesus did after he had cursed a fig tree. Now, this fig tree, he cursed it, and they came back the next day and said, "Master, behold, the tree that you cursed yesterday, you spoke to, has withered away, and it's dried up from the roots." All right, look what he says here in verse 22. "And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God." Now, you know what that is? That means have the God kind of faith. What is the God kind of faith? The God kind of faith is a faith that believes that what you say is going to come to pass. Are y'all with me here? Now, when Adam sinned, I'm going to still read the rest of those. When Adam sinned, Adam broke his relationship with God. So as a result of that, he wasn't connected to the power source anymore. Now he's out here scratching for something to eat. He had lost the blessing and so forth and so on. Now Jesus came to bring it back and reconnect us with the Father. And the key thing that you've got to remember is that whatever you do, you have to stay connected to God. I'm trying to find my scriptures here because I know they're here. That's all right. We're gonna work with this here tonight. That the tendency is to try sometimes to break away from understanding that God works with you. See, in the wilderness, pretty much he worked for them. All they had to do was cry and they got some manna. But not so in Canaan. In Canaan, he considers you a grown-up. And when you go in Canaan, then he goes with you and he understands that what he's asking you to do is impossible for you to do. Is this the right bunch I'm talking to tonight? Now, I want you to see this because we're about to work ourselves into something here gonna make you shout. I mean, this thing here that we're headed for now, this here is going to do it. If you look at Scripture and you look at Abraham's life. Now, I think I called out a scripture. I'm still in Mark chapter 11. Put something right there. And look at Abraham's life. I was trying to find my notes on this, but I know what I wrote. In Abraham's life, you'll look and see here in Genesis chapter 14. Okay? And in 14, Lot got taken by the armies that had confederated together and got Lot and his family and all the people of those cities. And Abraham went after him, and the Bible says here he armed in verse 14. He armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318. Now this, I want you to get this because this is going, I want to pump your spirit. 318 and pursued them to Dan. And he divided himself against them and so forth. And look at verse 16. And he brought back all of the goods and brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter. I'd like to underline that word, please, if you will. Notice what he's doing now. He's doing things that are impossible. And when Jesus cursed that tree and it dried up from the roots within less than 24 hours, that's impossible. Now, I'm trying to figure out what it is that's possible that God has asked me to do. I said, Lord, I only have $200. He said, you got me. Let's go. Are you following what I'm saying? You see, the tendency is to try to leave God out and do it with our own strength, because that is your old thinking. And God gives you the impossible on purpose, because one thing he wants to do, he wants to show people who he is. He wants to show people who he is. But the other thing, I think he's the author and finisher, come on, of our faith. He wants to spiritually develop us. He wants us to think like him, talk like him, walk like him, behave like him. He will very easily lead you into a piece of property you can't afford. Very easily. Very easily lead you into a building you can't pay for. He'll very easily lead you into an opportunity that's too big for you. But that's the way God works. He knows what's in you. Part of him is in you. Are you following what I'm saying? So as you're going down here in the next chapter, in Genesis chapter 16, I won't read it, but here's Abraham, and God told him he's going to have a baby. See? God told him that in 15. He said, the child is going to come from your own body. Because he's talking about who's going to be over my house. Is this Eleazar going to be over my house? He said, no, he's not going to be over your house. A child's going to come from your own body that's going to be over your house. So what did he do in chapter 16? Let's read it, starting verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abraham, Abram, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham said, well, if you want me to. No, I was just kidding. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. Now, I won't go there. I will leave that alone. What is Sarah and Abraham attempting? What are they attempting to do? Right. They're going to leave God out. They're going to leave God out, see? Because the old mind tells us what we can do. And that thing needs to be renewed. Because now, with God, all things are possible. Come on now. With God. I'm talking about agents of change. If we're going to change something, we cannot operate at the level of the world. Not in change it, you're not. You're going to have to raise up and operate on a higher level. You're going to have to walk in there with the supernatural. Then you can do it. And it's not hard to do. It'd be different if he tell you, run the marathon, one of that. Well, he might train you and do that. But my point to you is what he's telling them to do, that wasn't hard to do. It's just belief. Are you following what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, in this particular case, they didn't do that. They waited and they had a son, all right. They had a son named Ishmael, and they named him Ishmael. Well, Ishmaels are easy to get, but they're hard to get rid of. Well, that's a whole nother story. Let me stay with this right here. Okay, now look what it says in Genesis. Come on over to Genesis chapter 18, please. All right, look at verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah? These are angels talking to Abram. Where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, 9 months. Lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which is behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah what? Laughed within herself. Do you hear what I'm saying? God is about to do something for you that's going to make you laugh. Look at. And after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also? Talking about Abraham. He's old too. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything? He didn't say anything too hard for you. He said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, I want you to see this, folks, because where you go, you need a consciousness that God is with you. Yes. Say amen. You can't walk in a room and not think that God is not with you. You got to be ever conscious. Yea, though I walk, come on, through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David was ever present of God's, ever mindful of God's presence being with him all the time. Let's go to David. Let's go over there to 1 Samuel. I'm talking about Mark 11:24, because you're going into some places where it's going to take the supernatural. 1 Samuel chapter 17, please. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And this is David now. David said, I killed the lion. I killed the bear. And I can take this big guy. Now understand, this was the biggest man probably on the earth at that time. It didn't make any difference to David. It made no difference. See, if you really can get a conscience, Lord have mercy, I feel this thing in my spirit.
Boy, if we can get an awareness of God working through us, all we got to do is stretch out our hand, and then God moves. All we got to do is say something, God moves. Come on, all we got to do is even request something, God gives it to us. That's the way God wants you to see him. He's your ever-present help in time of trouble. He said over in Psalm chapter 121, he says, I look to the hills, glory to God, from what cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He that keepeth me will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel will shall neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5 of 121. And the Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade upon my right hand. The sun shall not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall, come on, preserve me from, come on, all evil. He shall preserve my soul. The Lord shall preserve my, come on, going out, come on. Am I coming in? When you walk in somewhere, you got to know God is with you. And if you know God is with you, God gives you divine assistance called favor. And somebody asks, how did that happen? You just say, favor. And you know, the favor of God. I call it, you know, F-O-G, fog. So I say, we're walking in a fog. Just walk in a fog all the time and expect. Now you got to expect, because that's part of faith. You got to expect God to move. God challenged me on something, and they called me today on something, and I said, yeah. I said, praise God, tell him this. You know what I mean? Now, I have no idea how I'm going to pay for it. Now, I said, tell him this. Why? Because it's something that we need. It's something that I know God wants us to have, and I know there's something trying to block my door. Say amen to that. And I put some things down here that in this whole idea of no limitations, some people drive sometime and I see their brake light coming on and I'm behind them, but they're not stopping. They're just nervous about everything coming and so forth. And that's where people do with their faith. They got one foot on fear and you can't hardly get them. Then let me get out behind these people, because they, see, I'm talking about fear and worry and procrastination and poor self-esteem. All these are brakes on your faith. These are things that the enemy wants to put on your faith to keep you from manifesting. I'm telling you, release the brakes. Glory to God. Take the limits off. Take the straps off. Say amen to that. Take the straps of superstition off. Take the straps of negative thinking off. Take the straps of misconception off. Take the straps off of what they're going to say about me. Put your foot on the accelerator and put the metal to the pedal of metal to the metal. Man, let it go. Your birthright is success. Glory to God in heaven. On the devil. Your birthright is to be successful. God says, I'm going to bless you. Come on. I'm going to make your name great and you shall be a blessing. That sounds like success to me. Everything you do is supposed to prosper. What am I saying? I'm saying that you and I have to get this image right. Because that image is not right. Look what he says over in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And look what has happened here. David goes up and faces this Philistine. In verse 42, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him For he was but a youth, and a ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come unto me with a stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. See, he didn't know the power of that stick. Because back over in Exodus chapter 4, God gave Moses a stick. He didn't give him 10 lawyers. Come on. He didn't give him a whole army of people. He gave him one stick. And he said in Exodus 4:17, and with this you shall take this stick, and with it you shall do signs. I'm telling you, all you need to know is what God wants you to take. God may not want you to take your cousin with you. God may, come on, he may want you to leave that unbelief behind. Come on, somebody in your household you may not be able to take on this one. Just keep it to yourself till the manifestation happens. Because everybody talking about heaven ain't going. And so you got to watch that. It's 1 Samuel chapter 2. I feel like preaching tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look what he said in verse 44. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the fowl of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, now you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. You know, David knew something about angels too. You know that? You know, I remember when I was a little boy, and the guy that he was kind of messing with me and bullying me, he's bigger than me. And I remember, you know, he's acting all big and everything, and then my brother came around the corner. My older brother. And he got all nice. Yeah, okay, well, I'll see you later. And went on. That's where the devil is. See, he knows when big brother Jesus comes around the corner. See, David invoked him right here. Look what he said next. He said in verse 46, this day, Lord have mercy. David didn't put it off. I like that about David. He did not put it off. He did not say next week, next month, 10 days from now, when the creek bank rise, he said, this day will the Lord deliver you, what? Into my hand. And I'll smite and take your head off you. And I'll give your carcass, the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day, to the fowl of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a what? This is what they want to know. I want to see your God. You've been talking about your God. You've been going to church every Sunday and every Wednesday. Now let me see why you're going to church. Let me see your God. The enemy has dared the church to say something. I'm telling you, folks, this is the truth that I'm telling you right now. And he has tried to make the church feel comfortable with his ungodliness. He has had evil pointing its dirty finger in the face of the church, daring you to challenge it. So now I'm going to take these laws and I'm going to make ungodly laws. See, it's me now, okay? You can marry who you want to marry, just don't bring it in my house. Now, understand, that doesn't say I'm endorsing this. But don't take my tax money to support that junk. Don't take my, now you're infringing in on my rights. Let me come over here. Don't use my tax money to pay for that mess, because I ain't paying for that. I'm gonna leave that right there. See, that now you're infringing on my liberty, my rights. Because I didn't sign up for that. I signed up for roads, education, no child left behind. Come on. Help the poor. But I didn't sign up for that. You see, the enemy is trying to say, I'm going to do that, and you're not going to say nothing about it. That's when we need to shift gears. This day. See, Goliath stepped across the line, and nobody else in the camp would face this guy. And where we're coming to, folks, is the church is coming to confrontation. See, we tried to dodge this all the time. We tried to stay nice, but just love everybody. Yeah, we're going to love them. But we're the change agents in town. There's a new sheriff. There's a new sheriff in town. Folks, I don't know about you, but I had a family. My mom, she would tell me something, said, don't do that anymore. Then you know me, I'm going to try the system. No, my grandmama, don't do that anymore. William, don't do that again. Boom, I try the system again. Okay, all right. Go out there and get me a switch. Watch this. And you come back with the smallest one you can find. She said, that ain't what I want. Go out there and get me another one. So you got the, you where I come from. There's a line that when you cross it, you're going to have to confront somebody. That's all I'm saying. But I'm saying we're going to get together. Because I've been talking to the other pastors. We're getting together. Oh, yeah, we're not just going to sit down. We're going to put some feet to our faith. Now, I know you, and I don't agree with so-and-so. That is why you're in here, to learn who God is and what God likes. You're in here to find out more about God. See, we came from that. But now you're in here in a new kingdom. It's all right. I'm not coming against anybody. I'm just saying, and we embrace everybody. But I'm talking about my money.
Right.
See, my money make me funny. Yeah. And you start messing with my money. Then we got to talk.
Amen.
Okay, let's go on up here. Praise God. Okay, let me just finish this. Are y'all with me so far? Let's go over, if you will, to Numbers. No. That doesn't do any more with that. Let's just go back to Mark chapter 11. Let's go back there, please. Are y'all with me so far?
Yeah.
It's all right, but we're not going to let Satan take over this nation. We're not going to let him take over this land. We ain't going to let him take over Chicago. That's why we are launching an attack. Boy, that just came to me in the spirit. We're launching an attack. We're going to attack him spiritually and naturally. Amen. All right. What did I tell you to turn back to? Mark 11. Okay, let's see. Can we finish this? Okay. Now look what he says. Verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, that's you. Come on up here, if that's you. Come on up here. That's you? That's who said that? Now, I heard you. That's you. Yeah, I got $100 for you. That was you too, right? Come on up here. Now, if you don't want to come, I'll give it to somebody over here who will say. Oh, yeah. We serve a God of plenty. See, I don't care what you think about me tonight. I see it right now. You got to confront these demons. And some of them may be looking you in the face. But I see right now, I got to be who I've been called to be. All right. All right, let's look at this verse. Now, this verse, whosoever, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he said shall come to pass, he shall have what? Whatsoever he said. Now, over in Genesis chapter 2, verse 6, it says here that, and that went up and missed the ground. Come on down to verse 8, please. Uh-huh. And the Lord got, verse 7. And Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, let me just tell you all, this is First Winston now. I'm going to just tell you what the Lord has been speaking to me. He's taken us back to the garden. He's taken us back to the garden. He's taken us to how God created Adam in the beginning. And that verse right there in Hamash translation of the Jews, Jewish translation says, man became a speaking spirit like God. Amen. Now, let me ask you something. When God saw darkness, what did he call it?
Light.
And I'm telling you, I believe we're coming into a time that you can speak into the atmosphere. Yeah. Isn't there a song about that, speaking to the atmosphere? That you go somewhere and you can just speak into the atmosphere and things will start changing. Say amen to that. And we're going to speak into the atmosphere. So when the men go over there, don't forget to have them to speak into the atmosphere. Praise God. All right. The next verse, Mark 11, 24, please. All right. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. Come on. And you shall have them. All right. Now, God is telling us, the believers, that what seems to be or look impossible is going to be possible with God. And that what he's going to tell you to do is going to look beyond what you can do in your own ability. And that you are to understand that he is with you. Amen. That he's going to bring it to pass. Amen. So, the moment you pray, believe. I said, the moment you pray, believe. He said, don't try to figure out how it's going to come to pass. Your job is to just believe that it is. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And this is where he's taking us right now. So, I won't cover any more of that because I want to finish here. And I got 4 minutes. All right. Here's one of the things that tries to stop us. And that is fear. Fear of what somebody's going to think, so forth and so on. And saints, we've got to get beyond fear. Say, fear not.
Fear not.
From this day forward. No, let me talk now. I'm talking. I do not want you to fear anything. Now, I know I've talked about this before. We got to get this fear out, folks. All right, there are four basic fears. Let me just say this. Fear is the single greatest obstacle to success. Fear is. No one enslaved by fear will ever get rich materially or spiritually. All right, let me show you this. Over in Joshua chapter 1, and I didn't bring my other notes that I had in my pad that I got early this morning, but your destiny is guarded by fear. Where God is sending you is guarded by fear. Are y'all following what I'm saying here? Look what he says here in Joshua chapter 1, and I'll start reading at verse 3. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said to Moses. All right, now I'm not going to cover this tonight, but I talked about ownership a little bit Sunday. And here's what I said. You and I are not just stewards. We are owners with stewardship responsibility. Because where there is no ownership, there is no outrage. You let the devil walk off with stuff and so forth. The reason why you won't let him walk off with your kids is because you own those kids. The reason why you won't let him steal your car and just drive off while you watch it, because you own it. But if he's driving off with a rental car, you say, I ain't going to get involved with that. He's just in the rental car, you're going, the agency's just going to have to come get that car. Are you following what I'm saying? Say amen to this. It's a whole different mentality when you own it. And God's people didn't know they own this earth. The Bible says you are joint heirs with Christ. Say amen to this. And that mentality must be there to govern this planet. So that's where you start out with prayer, that you own it. And that you're evicting Satan off of it. Say amen to that. And that's when we showed you Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And we showed it to you first in the King James, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then we took another degree of looking at that and looked at it in the Amplified and put it up there. As we looked at it in the Amplified, it says, now faith is assurance, the confirmation, the what else? Title deed of the things we hope for, and what else? The proof of things we do not see. So God has us to take it by faith. And faith is the title deed. Say amen. I want to know who's got the title to this property. And if you've got faith, you've got the title. And if you show the title in the court of heaven, then the angels come out to evict whoever's on the property and give it to you. Faith becomes the currency. Say amen to that. And I'm telling you, it's all coming back. Everything that's been stolen is now coming back. I said, everything that's been stolen is now coming back. And it's coming back into the hands of its rightful ownership. And this has not been preached. But that's what we're in today. We're in the last days. He's given us more revelation because we're about to see more manifestations. Verse number 3, again, in Joshua chapter 1. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses.
from this wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun. So that's from east to west, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not what? Fail you, come on, or forsake you. Look at verse 4 again. The land of the Hittites. Say land of the Hittites. Hittites means in the Greek, in the Hebrew, it comes from the line of Heth. Heth means terror. So these are spirits of fear. So the spirits that are blocking the land that you're going to have to encounter first are going to be a spirit of fear. And that's what they had to come in contact, because the whole place was shut up. They went out with 12 spies. They came back. 10 of them said, we couldn't take it. What happened? They told the congregation about it. What happened to the congregation? They wept all that night. Why? Because of fear. Because of fear. They begin to imagine themselves being just wiped out by the enemy. So I'm just saying, what will the enemy try? There are four basic fears that we have. Now, wait a minute. Let me just give you one more thing. Fear causes us to settle for less. It tries to rob us of our peace of mind. It's the root cause of negative emotions. And it's one of the major causes of problems in relationships. It is fear. Now, some folks are suffering from all of these. But if you put up there real quick, put up Psalm chapter 34 and verse 4, please. 34 and verse 4. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from what? Every fear you got, you're going to be delivered from it. When you face your fears and move towards them, get this, they diminish or begin to recede. When you face your fears and move towards them, they begin to diminish, they step back, and they begin to recede. Watch this. If you back away from them, they will grow and can actually grow to dominate your life. If you step back from fear, it'll grow. If you face your fears and walk towards them, they will diminish. Are y'all with me? So what are the four basic fears? First one, poverty. Poverty. One of the reasons why fear brings poverty and brings poverty in people's lives is because fear paralyzes the imagination. You can't see any way out. You won't even have any idea. Why, Lord, there's nothing we can do. There is always something you can do. And people with fear, you'll find they're always telling you why something won't work. Man, get rid of them people. I mean, I love them, but, get them out of the way. Fear will destroy self-reliance. In other words, the government is my problem. That's a fear problem. For the most time. Fear will keep you from being enthusiastic about anything. You won't get excited about nothing. That's because you're bound with fear. People who are free from fear are excited. Another one, fear breeds negative expectations. Now, because of that, poverty comes into a person's life. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 15, put it up there, please. He says this, a rich man's wealth is his strong city.
The destruction of the poor is their poverty. Why? They get up every morning thinking about it. They can't imagine anything but running out. They never imagine running over. So, the Bible talks about in Hebrews in chapter 2 and verse 14, it talks about fear of death. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part in the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is who? The devil. Look what he said, had the power of death. He didn't say has. He said what? Had, past tense, the power of death, that is the devil. Next verse, please. And deliver them who through what? Fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. No more fear of death. Well, I felt something in my chest. I said, no more fear of death. Got it? I'm telling you all of this because we're about to take the land. And we're going to have to deal with these fears. We got to get these fears out of the way. Say amen to this. Amen. Next one. Fear of change. Fear of change. Now, this is the prospect of the unknown. And people fear it. They fear the unknown. But if you're in the kingdom, the unknown is friendly. Because God just about all the time leads you into the unknown. He really does. And remember, you have a creative nature. And that's God many times allows us to be in a place of unfamiliarity so that we can draw from that creativity. But fear of change. People don't like change. They tell me when people move from one house to another, it's the most one of the most stressful times in their lives because of the fear rising up. And the last one, fear of failure. Fear of failure. It is the major cause of stress and negativity. So here's the answer to it. One, realize that there's no such thing as failure in Christ. Matter of fact, there's no such thing as loss. They thought they had lost Jesus, but God raised him. In fear of failure, people compose in their mind a mental picture of how something won't work. Something won't work. Now, let me just say this at the end. That you have the blessing on your life. And this blessing can go to any place on earth and turn it into a Garden of Eden. That is on your life right now. So, as we go to the various places that God would send us, realize that if you're in your family or some religious affair or some educational vocation you're in, or the government, or wherever you are, the blessing is on your life. Amen. And that blessing is released by faith and would do things for you that you never could do for yourself. I believe the blessing, in essence, is God with us. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we have for this time. Amen. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Let's make a confession here so we can lock this thing in. Repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus,
I realize now
who I am.
I am an agent of change.
Wherever you send me,
wherever
the soles of my feet shall tread, you have given me jurisdiction. Kingdom jurisdiction. And your kingdom reigns over all.
I will fear no evil,
for I am covered and protected.
You will never sleep nor slumber
when I am at work.
When I speak,
I shall speak the word of God.
I fully expect
a manifestation of your word.
Now, Lord,
I thank you.
This message tonight
has changed my life forever.
I will never fear again.
No matter what I hear,
no matter what I see,
no matter where I go,
and no matter what I do.
No more fear.
Spirit of fear
does not live here.
Spirit of fear
does not live here.
My body
is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
God lives big in me today.
Now, I expect success.
I expect the supernatural.
For I am a child of God.
And I am an overcomer.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
You know, I heard something. Now, I'm going to say this again because God's quickened it to my heart again. Harvest that you had sown is now coming in. I heard that thing again. Harvest that you have sown is now coming in. I said, expect.
This is your season.
Oh, wow. This is your season.